Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Psalm 23? And while you're doing that, I'll explain this. It's what Devin mentioned about our remind thing. I thought we'd just show you. So basically, if you text that, 81010, that number, if you text at RBC Shadron, you'll get signed up for our list. So you can do that whenever. You do it right now if you'd like. It'll also obligate you to, no, it won't do any obligation, but it will. You'll get a message every once in a while. We actually use it very sparingly. It's more to tell you about last minute cancellations and stuff. It's pretty important. We have no idea, you know, in light of the current situation. We have a group of people who are kind of overseeing how we respond to this, and so that we do it thoughtfully and well. But announcements are going to need to be made if something has to change. And so just want to encourage you to sign up for that so you can get that. Also, Facebook, we put it there, and Instagram, lots of other places too. If you have your Bibles, Psalm 23, I actually have a couple of more things to say. One, Scott Langmeyer texted me, and he asked that we would diligently pray for him and their students that are there in Switzerland. It's time for them to go back, and it's crazy right now for traveling. And it means a lot for those guys to be able to get back. Those are the students that I taught. And there's other things that they're facing, too. The entire town is on lockdown. As it were, like, there's no cafes open, there's no transportation's coming to a halt in Switzerland. Thankfully, our brother Lynn returned back, I think yesterday, from Switzerland. He made it out in time. Hopefully the team from Alliance will make it out in time on Tuesday. But yeah, you can be praying for Scott. He asked that our church specifically would pray. So in a moment I'll pray, and we'll pray for that too. But Psalm 23 is where we're at today, and I'll tell you why we're there in a moment. But first, why don't we read these amazing, really amazing six verses. All right, so the Word of God says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray again. Oh, Father, you are our shepherd. You are our good shepherd. Sovereign, powerful, unsurprised by human events, unmoved, unshaken, unshakable. Oh, Father, I pray that you would help us to put our confidence in you today, that we would leave here with our faith in Christ and our hope in uncertain times solidly in you, without doubt and without wavering, so that we can speak to the world. We trust in God. We hope in God. I pray that you will encourage those who are discouraged today by the events that are going on. I pray that those who are worried about their businesses would leave here fighting for joy and confidence in you. Thank you for the assurance that we have from your word. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ there on the Prisma campus in Switzerland. We lift them up to you as a church and ask that you would provide for them in such a way that they can see your hand through this. Scott seemed to stress that it was serious, and so we pray with all seriousness, Lord, would you help those students get home and the Alliance team to get home, and that through all of this, people would trust in you more. And that's what I pray. I pray for us that we would be a lighthouse of faith in God that people everywhere can see for your glory. And in Jesus' name, that name above all names, we pray. Amen. All right, truth be told, I wasn't planning to preach Psalm 23 today. My plan for a while now, for months now, has been to preach Romans 10, 13 through 17 today. I was planning to come here this morning and preach my heart out about God's passion for his glory among the nations. I wanted to prep our hearts for the missions conference next weekend and help you see how much God loves his glory, how much he loves the nations, and how much he wants to be glorified among the nations. That was my plan, but plans have a way of changing, don't they? I spent a good deal of time on Friday trying to think through what COVID-19 and the world's reaction to it means for us as a church, or it will mean, how it will impact us. The reality is that it might mean that we will have to do things very differently for a while. This might mean real and potentially sustained hardship for many people in our community. When this began, I didn't anticipate that this would be the health scare that it's become, but it's that now. And you know, I'm not here to say that we should have more hype. I'm not here to say that we should scoff. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm saying this is a real thing, the reaction to it and all that. And we have to address that as a church. We have to think about that. It's real. And to some, it is very scary. And that word scary is what led me to rethink what we will do this morning. I don't want you to be scared. We should not be scared. For sure, there are a lot of scary things going on in the world today with the markets and the virus and how the response to this virus might affect businesses and the way of life and cattle prices and oil prices and so on. Scary stuff, no doubt. But we are the people of God. We hope in God. We aren't fearful people. Frightening things happen in our world, but our hope in God remains. Our joy, our peace, our rest is settled in Christ through these things. So early yesterday morning, actually, with hopes of pastoring well through this, I changed my plan and decided to go to this beloved psalm and decided that it would be right for us to meditate for a while as a church on what it means to trust in God in uncertainty, in dark valleys. When economies free fall, when schools close, when churches are asked not to meet. Psalm 23 might be the perfect medicine for our souls this morning. I'm praying that. Psalm 23 is at its heart an argument. It's poetry, but it's an argument. It's a poetic argument. With two images and three declarations, David is making a case that he wants us to buy. He wants us to believe in Psalm 23. And the case he's making is that God is supremely trustworthy and our confidence should be in him. Psalm 23 is meant to convince you and me that God is worthy of our trust so that we will confidently trust in him today. The backdrop of the argument is two vivid and really easy to relate to images. In verses 1 through 4, God's like a shepherd. And we're like sheep for whom God provides and protects and leads. The shepherd's care is perfect. So even in hard times, the sheep are safe. They're protected in his care. And then in verse 5, this actually like switches metaphor. God's not afraid to mix metaphors, so we can too. But he switches the image. Now God's like a host who provides and protects for his guests. In verse 6, he makes it clear that we're even more than guests. We are welcomed in his house forever and ever. We are permanent residents. He's our permanent host. The argument itself is made up of three declarations. They are these: I will not want, I will not fear, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I'm going to use those declarations as kind of how to work through this psalm together. And my aim in preaching this is, I've kind of stated it, but I'll say it again. It's the same as what I think David and I think the Holy Spirit wants to do in this psalm for us. I want to build up our trust in God by showing you from this psalm that God is good and sovereign and trustworthy no matter what you see going on in the world today or in Shadron. And my prayer is that God will break through against our fears and help us see that we are like sheep and God is our shepherd. And that's really good news because God is a very good shepherd. He is perfect. Perhaps today God will melt away the barriers that keep you and me from trusting in God, from spinning. You know what I mean by spinning? By letting our minds go everywhere and we vacillate between scoffing at all this hysteria and fearing. Oh, may God just break all that away so that we simply say to our souls, to our neighbors, to the world, our faith is in God. Come what may. He is our good shepherd. And that we will learn to preach that to our own souls when we ourselves are afraid. This is what I'm asking God to do this morning, so that we can walk through this crisis with our trust in God, and while the world fears, because they have nothing but fear, we won't. We will boldly testify to the perfect one and his perfect care. So let's consider the first declaration. David says, I will not want. Maybe it'd be good to just read verses 1 through 3 again. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So I will not lack. Some I will not want. Some modern translations clear up the confusion that can come by I will not want. You know, because you can read that and you can think, that means I'm not going to have any unmet desires. Okay? But some translations help. They say, I will not lack. And I think that's right. I think that's what it means. The point that David is making is that our true needs are met in Christ, in God. It doesn't mean that he will have everything he desires, or that you will have everything that you desire, or have everything that you perceive that you need. And that's important to remember too. Not everything that you think is a real need, you will have. That's reality of living in this broken world. But we will have our greatest needs met. We will have our needs met. And how and why? Is because the Lord is our shepherd. Now, of course, we know because we have the New Testament that this psalm and especially that statement, that metaphor, points decisively to Christ, right? I mean, we know that Jesus himself used this image. In fact, he made it clear that he himself is our good shepherd. And that image just dominates John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 11, verse 14, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. And so for us, reading Psalm 23, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. And that helps us to deeply, in a full way, understand Psalm 23 and how our shepherd lovingly meets the needs of us, his sheep. We understand that, we understand more fully what it means when we understand that in Christ, God has met the greatest and most significant need that anyone could ever possibly have. So John 10, 11, it says, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The greatest need that we have is met in Christ, the good shepherd, by him laying down his life for us. That the image is clear. The shepherd loves his sheep so much that he willingly dies so that his sheep won't die, so that they will live. That death meets the greatest need of the sheep. In other words, the good shepherd gives his life so that his sheep will have life. And that's the essence of the gospel, isn't it? Jesus Christ meets our greatest need. We have this massive need. You have this massive need before God because of your sin. Because of God's holiness and justice and your sin, there's a problem there, isn't there? God is holy. He's just. He can't just say, you know what, you're a sinner, but that's okay. No judge would be just if he did that, would he? Justice demands that offenses are satisfied. And we are sinful. We have broken God's law. We are all guilty of sinning before a holy and just God. And God cannot overlook that, because he is holy. Sin and God's holiness means judgment is coming. And Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. So that we already know the penalty. Sin requires, the justice of God requires that if there's sin, there will be death. That's how sin is dealt with. God judges it by death, which I think means clearly in the New Testament, separated from God forever. That's huge. We have a huge problem if you put those things together, right? All of us sinful, God holy, wages of sin, death. Big problem. But in his mercy, the good shepherd laid down his life as a substitute, fully satisfying God's justice, fully paying your sin debt and my sin debt, and in turn giving us life through his resurrection. Indeed, giving life to everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ alone. I mean, that's the gospel, right? That's the good shepherd meeting the greatest need of his sheep. My friends, is your faith in Christ today? Is it? Or is it in your good works or your goodness or the fact that you're not a terrible person and you haven't murdered anyone? What's it in? What are you banking on? Because the fact that you've never murdered anyone doesn't take away from the fact that you're a sinner in need before a holy God. And that sin, not all sin that you possibly could commit, but the sin you have committed, stands before you as a testimony, as a witness of your guilt. But God, in his mercy, the good shepherd, went to the cross for you. The good shepherd laid down his life. Oh, how I want you to find your massive and most significant need met in Christ, the only one who can meet it. And he has. He has decisively met that need. He has died in your place on the cross. And God raised him from the dead to show all who have faith in Jesus that they have life in him forever. If you're trusting in him, then our good shepherd has made it so that you will not want. In the most massive way, you will not lack. Ever. God has met the greatest need any man or woman or child could ever have. He has died for his sheep so that his sheep will live. The good shepherd meets the greatest need, and he meets every need of his sheep. Look at how this psalm supports the argument. Our shepherd, the Lord, leads us to green pastures and to waters of rest, and he refreshes our souls, and he leads us in right paths. What does that mean? What does that mean practically? How does the good shepherd lead us like that? Or better, maybe it's to ask, what are those green pastures and these waters of rest? And these right paths. For livestock, green pastures mean food, right? I mean, you guys are the ag experts. I'm not. That's right? Green pastures equals food. We know, or I hope that we know by now, that the main food that we have, or the main need of food that we have, is not for physical food. Not the main. I mean, we need physical food. But our main need is not for physical food. Jesus made it clear that we can have all the physical food in the world and starve to death. Isn't that what he meant in Matthew 4:4 when he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God"? If we're going to really live, we need spiritual food. And that spiritual food is the word that comes from the mouth of God. It is the word of God. We nourish our souls with the bread of the word. In Psalm 119, 103, the psalmist said, "Your word is sweet to my taste and sweeter than the honeycomb." God's word is like sweet, satisfying food. It's very much like green pastures are to sheep. It is food to our souls. So could it be that the way that the good shepherd leads us to green pastures is through his word? And I can easily make the same case from the scriptures that the shepherd uses God's word to refresh our souls, to lead us in paths of righteousness. I think he does all of those things through his word. I could take you to verses like Psalm 19:7 that says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving or refreshing our souls." Or to verses like Psalm 119:105 that says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." God uses his word to lead us to green pastures and still waters and paths of righteousness, his word. And that has implications for the way we go about finding hope in crazy times, doesn't it? It means that we, in the valley of COVID-19 and the reaction of the world from it, will not find our food and our rest and our path forward in economic forecasts or in news reports. You won't find these things in the world. You won't. I just want to be clear, in case you're wondering. You will not be led to green pastures by Facebook. Instagram will not bring you by the still waters. Fox News or CNN or Google News or Twitter, they're not going to get you to the paths of righteousness. The shepherd uses his word to do those things. If you're struggling with fear at all the uncertainty of life right now, one really practical thing you can do and be helped is turn off your phone and open the word of God and find your food and your rest and your path. This is where you'll find those things. The good shepherd uses his word to shepherd you, to shepherd your soul. Of course, Psalm 23 doesn't just mean that our shepherd meets only our spiritual needs, and I'm not saying that. I fully believe that he meets all of our needs in him. The Lord, our good shepherd, meets all of our needs so perfectly that we can calmly say with faith, "The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack. Nothing I truly need is left out of God's perfect shepherding care for me. I can safely trust in him." Now, I know that sometimes it feels like some of our needs are not met, right? I know you have felt that way before. I know I have. You might be feeling that now, right now, with your current situation in life. It might not feel to you today that God is meeting your needs. However, truth be told, we're very much like sheep in that we don't know what we really need. Sheep are terrible at figuring out their own needs. In fact, they often wander into danger without a clue. I asked someone this morning who heard sheep. I'm still working on my sermon this morning. You know, confession's good for the soul. It's because I changed, though, so I have an excuse. I texted a guy who heard sheep, and I said, "Tell me." He's not here today because he's herding sheep. And they're lambing. Is that what you call that? Lambing? The lambs are? Yeah. And I said, "So tell me a little bit about sheep and their needs and how their needs are met." And he wrote me back a few texts. He said, "Sheep never go looking for water when they're thirsty. They will die of thirst if you do not lead them where they need to go." They don't even know. They're so intelligent, they won't even go looking for water. And they're so herd-oriented or flock-oriented that they would just all go off a cliff together if one of them started running off a cliff. They'd all die. Or, here's a great one, sometimes when they're really afraid, they just lay down. So like a predator is right there, and they think, "Oh, it's a good idea, I think I'll just lay down and play dead." And that's going to stop a coyote from eating you. They don't know. I'm not saying we're dumb. I'm just saying that we sometimes don't know. We don't know what we really need. The shepherd, however, knows what we really need, right? That's why sheep have shepherds, to lead them to water and to protect them from predators and to show them what's dangerous. We can safely trust in our shepherd even if we don't know what's going on, you know? Then that's what's happening when you feel like needs aren't being met. We don't know what's going on. Well, we can trust the shepherd. That's the point. You can trust the one who knows what you really need. I can trust him to meet all of my needs, from the greatest need I have, which is met in Christ, to all of my needs. I can trust him, and you can trust him today through all the unknowns and all the dangers you face. That's the first declaration, "I will not lack." The second one is in verse 4, "I will not fear." But to get to that one, you have to tackle what the valley of the shadow of death is. We want to believe, and many people today teach, that trusting in God means that we will not have to endure any difficulties or hard times. But this psalm, like the rest of the Bible, doesn't let us go there. In verse 4, he makes it clear that we trust God in valleys. In other words, we don't trust God to escape from trials. We trust God in trials. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's walking through the deepest, darkest valley. David does not assume that life in Christ is a bed of flowers. Instead, the hard reality is that we sometimes walk through dark valleys and endure seasons that are difficult and painful and seem unending. The comfort isn't our escape, and it isn't avoidance of the hardship. The comfort is that in the midst of those things, we do not have to fear because we have our shepherd. So in the dark valley of financial hardship, or in opposition, or in betrayal, or in loss of a key job, or a pandemic virus, the bold declaration that we make is that we will not fear. In that, we will not fear. Not because we think it's going to go away this week, but because we trust in God. We are in the care of our good shepherd. In verse 5, the imagery changes, right? From the shepherd's sheep to God as a host. He's still arguing for why we should not fear. The argument is the same, but he's changing pictures, different image. The picture is God preparing a banquet feast, right? And he's doing that right in the presence of our enemies. So picture it, okay? Bent bows, swords drawn, and there's a table. And he's saying, sit down, Mike, eat, feast. God invites us to calmly sit down and eat and drink, and that would be an absurd thing to do if our host was weak. And that's what makes that image so powerful. He is not weak. He is sovereign. Our enemies cannot harm us so long as we are under his hospitality. In him we find perfect refuge, right in the midst of life's greatest difficulties. Perfect refuge, because we trust in our sovereign God. Do you see? Banquet. Enemies all around. And he says, sit down and eat while I anoint your head with oil and fill up your cup till it overflows. Again, we don't find our rest from trials. We find our rest in trials. If our trust is in God, we say truthfully, I will not fear. He is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. I sit down unarmed in the presence of my enemies because of my host. That's amazing. The final declaration is that it's the only positive declaration of this psalm. The other two are negative. I don't mean they're bad, but he's declaring things that he won't do, right? I will not lack. I will not fear. The final declaration is what the psalmist will do, both now and forever. Instead of lacking or fearing, he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is confident because God is a good shepherd and a good host. And because God will pursue him with goodness and with mercy all his days. I love that he uses in verse 6 the word surely. I have a friend who would always say, don't call me surely when I would say surely, but it's a good word. It's a mark of confidence. Surely. David trusts God's word enough to know with certainty that God will keep his promises to him and will pursue him with goodness and mercy, and there is nothing that's facing him that makes him doubt that. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Surely! When he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, I don't think he's just looking ahead to the future and saying, one day I'm going to die and then I will dwell in the house of the Lord. This is not just future grace. It is present and future grace. It's similar to me saying, I will live at my current address for the next 10 years. I live there already and I will keep living there. That's the sense here. We dwell in his house now. We dwell in the house of the Lord now, and we will forever and ever. The house of the Lord is not merely a location or physical place. In its fullest sense, it is a spiritual reality. It is wherever the Lord is. I am his, and I am with him. I dwell in his house, and I will live with him forever. Psalm 27 seems to make that concept even more clear, at least to me. In Psalm 27, 4 through 5, David said, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble." The answer for the day of trouble is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. That's our present reality and our rock solid future hope. The house of God is where God is, and in Christ, we are where God is. If we are in Christ, we are dwelling in the house of God. And if we are in Christ, that will be our address forever. We are permanent residents. So to sum up, and then try to have some take home here. This psalm is an argument for hope in God through Christ, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Through two vivid images, the psalmist makes this case, right? Hope in Christ, for he is the good shepherd who leads us to green pastures, waters of rest. He refreshes our souls. He leads us in paths of righteousness. So we can trust him. And we can boldly say, because I am his sheep, I will not lack. He is the host, right? He fills up my cup. It overflows. He anoints my head with oil. I'm at rest at his table. Even though my enemies are all around me with their bows bent, I do not fear. And of course, that doesn't mean there's nothing to fear. It doesn't mean that there is nothing to fear. Dark valleys are scary things. There are some scary things in this valley we're about to walk through, that we're walking through. I'm not sugarcoating it. I don't think it's wise to do that. But what I am insisting on is that we don't have to fear fearful things, because we safely trust in God. And our Lord is a good shepherd. He is a good host. He is sovereign. He is good. Instead of fear and worry, we confidently declare that we will dwell with him forever. So the takeaway, I think, is to bring your fears and your worries and your doubts to the good psalm, the good shepherd of this psalm. Trust in God, that the same one, the same God who brought David through dark valleys, trust in him to meet your needs, from the greatest that you have to the smallest. Jesus is our good shepherd. Trust in him today. Dwell with him forever. Have the kind of confidence that defies reason in the hardest of times. Defies the world's reason. How do we do this? I think one really good way is to preach this psalm to your soul. You feel that fear rising up? Preach. Preach the truth of God to your heart. Until your heart submits and believes. Turn off Facebook. Open the Bible. Feed on the Word of God. Feed. You want confidence? You want strength? You don't go about a hard day without eating. Don't go about your life without going to the bread of life. To the Word. Go there. Feast. Find strength. Sustenance, so that you can go out there and do it. And preach this to one another. This is why we've gathered today, to preach this to each other. We encourage one another as believers. When we see a brother who's struggling, we say, "Brother, you can trust in our good shepherd." That's why we're here together. That's why we do life together like this. And preach this to the lost. They have no hope, guys. No hope. We have hope. There is hope. Let's champion that hope to this world for the glory of God and for the good of people. Let's pray. Father, I do pray that you will help us to trust in you. David said, "When I am afraid, I trust in you." He never said, I never fear. He says, "When I am afraid, I trust in you." Lord, if we are fearful today, I pray that you will help displace our fear and replace it with trust. that we might hope in you, that we might grow, that this thing might test our faith in a way that might be hard or whatever, but we will simply trust for your glory and help us to show this to this world. I pray that the interactions that we have online or in person, we would show that no matter what, we trust in you in difficulties, in hardships. And Lord, we are so grateful that you are our good shepherd and that you have laid down your life for your sheep. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.